Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Kitchen Garden Magazine podcast, your fortnightly fix of gardening features, advice and chat. Subscribe and follow us now to never miss an episode.
Welcome folks, welcome to the latest edition of the Kitchen Garden podcast. And today I'm really pleased to be chatting to Susie Bortolot, aka Susie B. A lot of you will know her from Instagram and from YouTube. As Susie B Living, I think you've got something like 100,000, I should say, followers, Susie. Though I'm very well known for down to earth practical advice through her videos and Instagram channel. So, hi, Susie, welcome to Kitchen Garden.
Hello, Steve. This is a real thrill for me because the Kitchen Garden magazine has always been my absolute favourite magazine.
I buy
a subscription for my mum in Australia, and mm-hmm. she stockpiles them and loves them, even though she's on the opposite side.
That means so much to me, Susie. Thank you very much. You've made my day already. That's really great. As you mentioned, you've been in the magazine several times just recently. So, you know, we had a profile on you and your plot, and also want to chat a little bit about your sort of passion for moon phase gardening as well, which fascinates me. I'd really like to know more about that. So you've already mentioned you're from the other side of the world originally, from Australia. Victoria, was it?
Yes, Victoria, a place called Wodonga. And I'd always say to people that it's kind of halfway between a place called Tangambalanga and Yakanda. So that really confuses everybody.
Yeah. It sounds pretty exotic. It sounds amazing. It sounds great. I can bet the weather's better than it is here.
Well, I spoke to Mum this morning and she said it's really hot. I mean, so far this summer, it's been very wet. I mean, like, I suppose it's mirroring what we've got. But she was really hoping she would get away with a decent temperatured summer, but now it's gotten really hot. So today they had 39 degrees Celsius. Oh. Tomorrow's 37. So really there's not much you can do in that weather.
No. Our brief sort of stint at 39-40 was enough for me, and that only lasted a few days. I couldn't cope. I just couldn't cope. No. Oh, but from a gardening family, though, I understand your mum's a keen gardener.
Yes. So mum and dad were immigrants to Australia. My father's dead, but he was Italian, and my mum's from Austria. And very much into the gardening. I remember it when we were little, we always had gardening on the go and Dad was constantly digging. And then out of a moment of madness, he bought a farm.
Oh, my goodness.
So we started the farm and we had beef cattle. And then my mum and dad said, let's start a plant nursery. So we had a plant nursery on the farm.
Oh, well, so real agriculture and horticultural roots then.
It's
in the DNA.
Yes. Yeah. And when I moved away from Wodonga and I went to uni in Melbourne, I always was growing things, even on my balcony in my flat. I was always edibles. I love pretty things and edible flowers as well, but it was always something to eat.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Amazing. And you ended up in, you came to the UK to study opera singing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I was an opera singer, and I came over to work with a particular teacher here in the UK. Oh. And then I met my now husband, who is from Lincolnshire, from Louth.
Oh, okay.
And he is now the opera singer, and I'm not anymore. I'm the gardener.
Oh, complete change. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Australia's loss, our gained. So that's great. Yeah. Oh, great. And so after, you know, obviously couldn't garden younger, studying like all of us, you know, doing other things, but now you're very much back to gardening.
Absolutely.
And you've got an allotment and a beautiful garden. I mean, we've seen pictures of your garden in the magazine. It's amazing. I don't know how you've got the time and the energy to do both, because they're both amazing. You must spend a lot of time on your plot.
I think the thing is, Steve, that, you know that once a gardener, always a gardener. And I think the thing is that it's such a passion that, you know, even when I'm working, because I'm a therapist, so even when I'm working, when I'm any moment I have, I'm either sowing seeds or getting outside and doing a bit of weeding. It just brings this another dimension to everything. Mm. I can't cope with being inside. I have to be outside. I mean, I used to be a fair weather gardener. I would shut the door in August and not come out till April. When I first moved here, I couldn't cope with the weather.
Well, I don't blame you for that.
Such a shock. But now I get out every single day if I can, if it's not raining, you know. And of course, it's a big passion. And the trouble is, when you start growing your own food, you never have enough land.
No.
You want to have more and more and more. I don't know. Do you have a big garden?
It is, but I have to battle for space with other members of the family, you see. So they're not all veg gardeners. So we've got ornamental as well as veg. So, yeah, a bit of a fight goes on there. Not as much space as I would like, as you've just mentioned. Yeah, never enough.
Exactly. And I'm always buying for another little plot on the allotment, because the allotments are directly across the road from me behind a church.
Awesome.
I really like, I can walk there. Mm. And every time another little piece of land comes up, I'm always knocking on the door and saying, oh, do you think you could give that piece to me? And they always say, whoa.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll quite agree. You know, it's great therapy in itself, isn't it? Just being outside and the connection with nature, as well as the plants themselves that you're growing. It's just a fantastic hobby, as well as all the great veg you get to eat as well. And you're a keen cook as well, because growing, it's only half the job, isn't it, really? It's what you do with it afterwards.
That's exactly right. And, you know, to try and be kind of self-sufficient, I mean, you can't. I think in veg, you might be able to if you do a lot of preserving, but definitely not fruit in this country. But in order to do that, you know, it's then you have to do something with the stuff. So you either eat it, and we're big eaters of the stuff that we grow. And I don't, I do freeze, I do preserve, but I always like fresh. So that's why I garden all year round. There's never a time that I'm not sowing something. So I have the whole setup, you know. I've either got the greenhouse. I've got a greenhouse. I kind of sometimes I heat it. Shh, don't tell me.
Fancy, very fancy. Yeah.
But you know, and I like to always eat fresh. So you do have to be constantly at it all the time if you want to do it, and if you want to be self-sufficient. And I would say we are about 95% completely self-sufficient on veg.
That's impressive. Yeah. How many are you feeding? Is it How many?
Only the two of us.
Oh, just the two. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, only the two of us. But if I have any excess stuff, then it's always giving it away to people. And I do preserving as well. But, you know, we're big eaters of greens. I have to have greens all year round. I have to have a lettuce or a Asian green or a brassica all year round. And we eat a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. I think looking at your Instagram and your YouTube videos, which I must compliment you, they're absolutely great and really down to earth and friendly, and you know, everything's explained very well. But what really comes over, I think, is you must have great organisational skills, because that's where I fall down. That's where I'm terrible, because I, you know, you mentioned you do your successional sowings and you're sowing the right varieties at the right time and everything. And it probably feeds into the moon phase gardening as well, where you've got to be, you know, which we talk about. But yeah, I imagine you sitting in front of a great big planner, which kind of almost covers the whole of the shed wall. Are you really organized? And, you know,
I have my little book, but no, I mean, I am probably one of the most disorganized people there is. But when it comes to gardening, what I have found over the years is when I first started growing veg, I would grow every variety available because I wanted to know what did we really like, what was really tasty. So I did all of that. And I would just plant at any time of the year just to see what would come up. And then I realized I was wasting quite a lot of money on seeds.
It's not cheap, is it? Well, certainly not now.
Absolutely no way, unless you save your own. But, you know, and then I thought, no, this is not working. And then I came across the moon gardening thing. And what it does is that is what's made me really organized. It's very simple. I've developed a system within it. And I never stress now over sowing anything. I still throw in a few new different varieties, but I am so far ahead all the time because I'm just about in my little black book. I'm just about to write, I'm sowing and growing in March. And I do it all according to what phases of the moon are coming up. Okay, there's always leeway, isn't there? But I know exactly what I'm doing on what day. And it stops me going out into the garden and scratching my head and becoming completely overwhelmed and then becoming paralyzed because I can't do anything. And it's taken a lot of years, taken about 10 years for me to organize myself into what I'm growing when. But it works because I'm lazy. I'm a lazy gardener.
Oh, well, yeah, you and me both. I'm terrible, terrible. If I can get away with a job so I don't like doing, I'll put them off, that's for sure. Yeah.
Compost.
Yes. So for listeners who haven't read the great feature in this month's magazine and don't know much about it, can you, you know, a sort of potted, what is moon phase gardening, basically?
So, I mean, I think it's becoming more popular, but it used to be this kind of, you know, what was it in the Farmer's Almanac?
Oh, yes.
Remember, that all comes out. I mean, it was in there all the time. So they talk about the moon cycle. So we get the full moon, we get the new moon, and in between we get all this other stuff happening. And what it does is it affects the moisture on the earth. So it affects the tides. That's the first thing. And it also affects the water table. So in affecting the tides, it affects the water table. So when we have a full moon, after the full moon, all of the energy from the actual moon on its orbit pulls the moisture down into the earth. So that is the time that everything below the ground, like roots, do really well. It's as simple as that. Then as we go up to a new moon, the moisture starts pushing upwards, and that's really good for things like all your fruits or leafy vegetables as well. And it's as simple as that. But within that, I have my little Maria Toon book. I'm going to give this a plug.
Oh, yeah. So
this is
yeah.
the book that I use, this biodynamic calendar. And what I like about this book is then she breaks everything up into more or less like astrology. Now, I'm not into astrology. I'm not into anything like this. I just want to get really good germination and really good crops. That's all I want. So then the different days come in, and there are 4 days. Roots, leaves, fruits, and flowers. And all of these coincide with what is going on with the energy of the moon. And it's all in this calendar. And then so I just look at what's coming up. Like today is a roots day. We've just had the full moon. Right. Everything's being pulled down. We've got 4 days of roots days. That means onions, shallots, garlic, potatoes, all of that kind of stuff. And then what I've done is I then now break it up into my schedule. And my schedule is always the most important thing for me is sowing, because I find that if I sow on a particular day, so if I sow all my onions and my radish, and what was I sowing yesterday? I was doing some shallots as well. If I sow on a fruits day, I would say I get about 98 to 100% germination.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I've experimented. I keep experimenting, because then I think to myself, oh, can't be bothered. So last year I experimented in January again. And every time I go back to this moon schedule, I suppose it is. So sowing is my number one thing that I do. Everything else I'm not that fussed about, but I always sow on a particular day.
Right, right. And you mentioned you've got 4 days, you know, after the full, you say, for sowing or for roots in this case. So, right. Oh, well, I mean, I tended to think, oh, my goodness, you know, it probably says I've got 2 hours and I must do it between 3 o'clock and 4:30 or something like that, you know, and then who's got time to do that? But 4 days is doable, isn't it? Yeah.
It is doable. And even like, I think this week we've got 1 day of flowers. Again, I hate dogma. I hate any dogma. I don't like anyone telling me what I read a lot. I get ideas, but then I need to process them myself. And I hate dogma. And I think that if it's going to stress people out that they think that they've only got one flowers day, so they have to do everything to do with flowers, it's not worth doing. So I just say, okay, I've got a flowers day coming up this week. What's my priority to do with my flowers? Ah, I've got a few transplants that I want to just do. And if I just do that one thing, I'll be happy. If I do nothing, I really don't care.
Yeah.
Because I know that it's going to come around. But I think that the main thing, especially if you're growing your own, is the sowing. Because we're going to get to April pretty soon.
Yeah.
And people are going to say, I forgot to sow my tomatoes. I forgot to do this, you know. And I think that is the most important. So yesterday, so I've done all my sowing for my roots. That's all done now. So today, what am I going to do? I'm going to go out and I'm going to weed around my garlic, just check my garlic. If it looks a bit yellow, I might give it a feed as well. And that's how kind of liberating it is, because I might, out of the corner of my eye, see a patch of weeds there in my brassica bed. But I say, it's coming up next week. I'll do that next week.
Right. Yeah. So it's almost dictating your schedule for you. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really easy. For me, it's easy because it gives me a schedule. And like I say to a lot of people, because I've got some subscribers on Instagram, and I had one lady and she said to me, I just can't get my head around that I've just got 1 day of, say, roots, and that's all I'm going to be doing. But she said, it's funny, in a funny way, it feels quite liberating.
I
don't have to think about anything else. And I said to her, if you just follow along, you will never, ever feel overwhelmed, because you'll always be well ahead. And that's where my stagger, because I stagger all my sowings as well, so that I don't get everything once.
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose rather than trying to cram in 20 hours of gardening at a weekend, you know, it may be that you've just got half an hour in an evening to do, or an hour, and yeah, you keep up with it that way.
Yeah. And a lot of people say, oh, I don't have time to garden. And I think that's because they're thinking they have to do 20 hours. You know?
Yeah.
And every day I try and do something. You know, I might be working from 9 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, but I'll try and get after that, I'll try and say, I might just sow a module. I've got some spinach. I'll just do this spinach tonight.
Yeah. Oh, that does make a lot of sense. And I mean, I used to be a bit sceptical about it, but as you say, you can see the tides. You know, you can see it working, can't you, the tides. And I think I just read a book about a guy who does a lot of potholing and caving, and it's, you know, talks about mining and all that. And he's saying if you're down in these places, deep down in the earth, you can actually, a tiny fraction, but the earth actually does move. It does change with the moon phases, you know. So you think, well, it's got to make sense that the soil water and plants are in, you know, sort of in tune with that. Plants have evolved to be in tune with that. So, yeah, I can see it.
It's like breathing. I mean, it's like when they do time lapses on things growing as well. If they put the volume in, you can hear little crackling and little things breathing, like the rhubarb, you know, in Wakefield.
Oh, yes, yes.
You hear that all moving. And it's just all energy. I mean, we're all energy. So, you know, and some people go a little bit loopy when it's full moon.
Well, yes, I've heard. Yes. Less said.
Oh, no, it's really good fun. And I do think, I mean, I don't know, it seems to work for me. And then my schedule. So my schedule's always sowing first, then it's transplanting, then it's weeding and maintenance, and then it's feeding and watering. Yeah. So if I know, okay, this is what I'm going to do today, I might just do a little bit of this or a little bit of that. Like the other day, it was a fruits day. And I top dressed all my citrus and fed them. That was my day. It was so lovely.
Yeah. I'm liking the sound of this. I think I'm going to have to buy that book. Yeah.
It's very interesting. She was a biodynamic gardener, and she did so many experiments of, you know, things. And to a certain extent, Charles Dowding, you know, Charles Dowding, no deep Charles Dowding. If you look at his calendar, it's in moon phases. Mm. It's a little bit, it's not very strict, but you can see that he uses that as well. Because of course, with the no dig, it's all working with what's happening underneath the ground and what's happening above the ground as well.
Yeah. We're talking about organization still. I was really impressed with some of your videos where you're talking about, I think one was sowing your peas, and you're very careful what varieties you sow at what time to get the right one for, say, early crops and then later crops. And the same with your chilies as well. You know, you're sowing ones that you like to eat for the fruit, and then ones for preserving a little later on. And you chip your seeds as well, your chili seeds. That's something I hadn't thought of.
Yeah, this pre-germination thing is a really interesting, because they're expensive chili seeds. You know, if you're gonna do F1s, you're looking. I planted some cucumbers the other day, and I couldn't believe how I can't remember how much it was. £3 a packet. I got like four seeds in there. They're all gonna germinate, so it's fine. But yes, I think that again. Someone asked me a question last night about, they said parsnips. And see, parsnips are the thing, because a lot of people are sowing parsnips now, which I think is a bit early, because also I've got no room to sow parsnips because I have stuff in the ground that I need in the ground until April. But you know, I do sow my parsnips, so I've got two lots of sow. Again, I stagger them. If I do sow my parsnips, I've got certain varieties for the first sowing, because I know that's going to come, that's going to harvest. I'm going to harvest those in autumn. So I need a different variety for that. And then my main crop ones that I'm going to harvest in winter, again, is a different variety. So not only am I, I'm always looking at when I'm sowing, I'm thinking, when am I harvesting so that I can then have the ground for my next lot of crop? Because I never have empty ground. It's right. All being used constantly.
Yeah.
I don't all sit with nothing on it. There's always something. So I'm always thinking about, okay, I need that out. I need all of that out of the ground so that I can put this in.
Mm.
And that's where varieties come in.
Yeah, yeah. So do you find the need for, say, green manures to cover the ground? You've always got winter crops.
I think with no dig, you don't have to, because I do no dig.
Right.
So, so no, I have never found that. I've just, you know, we've got three compost bays on the allotment. I've got three here at home. So I find that when I use my own compost and whatever else I might be putting on top, maybe a bit of manure or, you know, stuff like that, I sometimes do a bit of fish blood and bone on top.
Yeah.
No, I don't. And also with no dig, I find I don't have to prop rotate unless I get something like club root or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So I
yeah.
rotate as well.
Yeah.
So now.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I was going to ask you about feeding. So you mentioned you use compost, your own homemade compost. Do you make your other fertilizers or?
Yeah, I do comfrey. So I like the comfrey. Oh. I do nettles because we've got so many nettles as well. So, like I said, I do the fish blood and bone if I'm just going to put always when I have a bed, because here at home I've got 12 raised beds here at home.
Okay.
And so I always sprinkle something on top for those. And at the allotment, it's just allotment beds. So yeah, I mainly make my own. I don't really seaweed. I don't mind some seaweed feed.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Use that yourself quite a lot. Yeah, yeah. Oh, brilliant! And what? I mean, you've already have said, you know, you've got all this organisational skills down pat. I think looking at from chatting to you now and looking at your videos and things. But what? You know, is there anything else, say money no object, you'd like for your plots, any plans you've got for this year that you'd, I mean, maybe it's just buy another acre of ground by the sound of it.
See, I'd love a big enough plot for a polytunnel.
Ah.
I don't have a polytunnel because polytunnels growing is different to greenhouse growing, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah.
So I'd love a polytunnel. I've got a little mini one. I've got one that's 5 foot long and 4 foot wide that I can round. But I would love a polytunnel. Other than that, no. So our big project this year is sorting out the soft fruit in the back garden. So I've got a dedicated area for my soft fruit, but it's gotten a little bit out of control. And so I've got to sort that out. And somehow I have to work out how I can build a fruit cottage. I'm doing that as well.
Yeah, yes. That's an essential, I think, the soft fruit. Yeah, you've got to have a fruit cage for sure.
The pigeons are just...
Oh, it's squirrels here. They take all the strawberries while they're green, so you've got no hope. And then you find them in a pile in one corner of the garden and it's just soul destroyed.
Oh, no, I haven't got that. It's
a fruit cage for sure, yeah.
Yeah, and fruit cage. So,
well, Susie, I can't believe it, but I've been told we're running out of time already.
Really?
But I just want to. Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? That goes so quickly. But so, if listeners want to learn more about you and watch your videos, where can they find you again?
Well, my main account is Instagram, and it's Susie B. Living on Instagram. The only trouble with Instagram is it's changed so much over the years. Because when I started, it was quite good for educational purposes. You could put longer videos on, but that seems to have gone now. Oh, so now it's all kind of snappy reels. And so My main educational part of what I do is on YouTube. And again, it's Susie B Living on YouTube, and I have the number 9848, but I don't think that matters so much, because then I will really go into the whole educational part of, you know, what I do, how I do it. If you want to do it as well, then great. But I also, but Instagram has now introduced a subscriber element within Instagram. So for 99p a month, you can get all the information, a little bit more that I put on YouTube for my subscribers as well. And yes, who knows, more articles.
Yes, well, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and you can show me how to be organized. I think that's the thing. That would be worth 99p a month. If you can do that, Susie, that would be great.
Yes, it is doable.
Have a look at your little black book and see what you come on.
Have a look at what I'm sowing and growing for March. The last one I had to do in two parts because there's so much. I mean, from February onwards, it's just madness. You know, you're just sowing and growing all the time. But, so that's more or less what I do. And I do plot to plate as well. I've just done an article for a magazine for a plot to plate, and all on kale, boring old kale.
Oh, plot to plate. Right. I'll put that in the planner. We'll talk. Yes.
Yeah. So, thank you, Steve.
That's right. No, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you, Susie. Thanks so much for joining us today. It's been great.
My pleasure. And good luck with everything, this wonderful magazine.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Everybody has to go and get it or get it online. There's no excuse now because you can get it online.
Absolutely. Yeah. Take it to the plot with you if you get the digital version. It's like, got it on your phone. That's great. Oh, well, thanks so much, Susie. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Same here. Have a good day.
You too.
All right.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.